Good evening. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for another edition of Midwest Beat. And my guest tonight here on Midwest Beat is legendary rock guitarist Martin Barr, who for 43 years was the renowned guitarist of Jethro Tull. Martin's unique sound and style contributed enormously to Tull's success. He's also worked on projects with the likes of Paul McCartney, Phil Collins, Gary Moore, and others, has shared the stage with Hendrix, Zeppelin, and, well, again, more. So we're going to talk to Martin Barr, who's coming to Chicago's Martyrs Nightclub on Tuesday, April 22nd at 8 p.m., and we're going to have him on the show momentarily and feature music off his latest album, Back to Steel, his third solo release. So stay with us. Coming up after your headlines, the legendary Martin Barr will join us.
Public Radio comes from NIPSCO. Smart digging means calling 811 before each job. This ensures that all underground utility lines are marked to avoid property damage, injury, and possible fines. More information at NIPSCO.com/811.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. Tonight, my guest is the one and only Martin Barr. Legendary British rock guitarist, formerly with Jethro Tull, spent 43 years with those guys recording and touring. Martin's also worked on projects with the likes of Paul McCartney, Gary Moore, Phil Collins, Joe Bonamassa, and others. And of course, during his storied career, he shared concert stages with legends like Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Jimi Hendrix, and others. In recent years, Martin's been touring the world with his own band, playing classic Jethro Tull tunes and songs from his trio of recent solo albums. Martin Barr Band will be coming to Chicago's Martyrs Nightclub on Tuesday, April 26th. It's an 8 p.m. performance, so write that down, because after tonight's show, I'm sure you're going to want to go see him. He's going to feature tunes from his solo CD, his new solo CD, Back to Steel, and of course, we're going to feature some of those on tonight's program as well. The lineup of Martin Barr's band is rounded out by George Lindsay, Dan Crisp, and Alan Thompson, and we're going to talk with Martin Barr after we pay a little tribute to his former band, as he does, from the Back to Steel album. This is Martin's treatment of a classic Tull song, Skating Away.
Humanity and the soul to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day. A million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away. Skating away on the thin ice of a new day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, so as you push off from the shore, won't you turn your head once more and make your peace with everyone? For those who choose to stay, one more day to do the things they should have done. And as you cross the wilderness, thinning in your emptiness, you feel you have to pray. Looking for a sign, the universal mind has written you into the passion play. Skating away on the thin ice of the new. is on the stage, and it seems like you're the only person sitting in the audience. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Skating away on the thin ice of a new day. Classic Jethro Tull song performed there and included on the new solo album by my musical guest this evening, Martin Barr, who spent over four decades playing guitar for Jethro Tull. Martin, are you with us?
I am, Tom. Yes, I'm right here.
Nice version of Skating Away there, Martin. I've got to say, it's always been one of my favorite Tull songs, and you've done a great treatment of it.
Thank you. You know, it's a happy song, and I'm ever so happy. So it works really good. I like happy songs.
After decades in the thick of it all with Jethro Tull, 43 years, naturally fans expect you to embrace your past and contribute some of those songs in your live set. But you've got, you know, three recent solo albums to your credit, plus earlier stuff. What's the ratio of the Jethro Tull music versus the Martin Barr Band music in a typical live set?
It's, I'd say, 40% Tull, 40% my music, and that leaves 20%, I hope. And we do some quirky stuff. We do a bit of Porcupine Tree, Beatles, Willie Dixon, Bobby Parker. In fact, anything we think is going to be amazingly good, and we've got that freedom, so it's nice.
You went through years with Tull, which is very, very structured and formulated. I mean, everything with the live shows was very tight. The arrangements were difficult. Is that one of the reasons that you're enjoying this phase of your career so much, because you got that freedom?
Yes and no. But, the discipline I learned from Tull, you know, we were a tight band and we worked really hard. We had a real hard work ethic. But you know, I've got that in me anyway. That's there forever. But the music we play has the freedom. But you know, within that music, that there's a lot of discipline. There's a lot of musicality. It's complex, but it doesn't sound complex. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to aim to do.
With the new album Back to Steel, which has just been out a few months now. At least here in America, you are very much embracing the blues, which is where so many British bands, including yourself with Jethro Tull going back to the day, the Stones, Fleetwood Mac, everybody was doing the blues back then, even Black Sabbath when they were still, when they were still Earth. But is that a full circle for you? Did you embrace the blues like so many of the Brit guitarists back in the day?
Yeah. I didn't directly because, I love the Three Kings. Albert, Freddie, and BB, mm-hmm. and I just thought, you know, those guys are so great. Leave them alone. You know that they've got it down. Just listen to it, appreciate it, let it inspire you, but don't copy them. It's pointless. But I just believe the blues is in all music. It's in folk music. It's in country music. It's in rock music. That essence, those building blocks, are the blues, it's always there. I love it, and sometimes I embrace it. Other times I just sort of, enjoy listening to it and see what happens.
Okay, well, as I understand it, you're calling in tonight from Mississippi, and you've been spending some time there recently. Is that correct?
Here's a long story. the only time Jethro Tull ever played in Mississippi, you can believe that, in Jackson. I met my wife and many, many years ago. So we've now been married 40 years. And to run full circle, my son has married a girl from Mississippi and lives here.
Wow. So there's the connection there.
Yep. So I think I'm half American by default. I'm happy with that.
Are you soaking up some of the mojo from the Delta ghosts while visiting down south?
Oh, you better believe it. It's pretty strong down here. Yep, it's pretty good.
You you have a great treatment that you've done live for a while, and also on the new album, Back to Steel, of Howlin' Wolf, Smokestack Lightning. And, of course, you even added some new lyrics to the classic track. And we're going to play that. But before we do, is there a reason that you happen to choose that particular classic blues song to cut your teeth back in?
You know, I saw Robert Plant play in England, and he's got a great new band. But he played Spoonful. I don't know if you've ever heard him play that.
I haven't.
Outrageous. And, it's just taking a great blues classic and just adding this sort of ingredient to it that is so special. So I was looking at all these sort of blues riffs and just thinking, you know, that would inspire me to do the same. And I was looking at the YouTubes and I saw Smokestack Lightning, and it's just brilliant. You know, it's just that riff that goes on for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, and I just thought, you know, I can do something with that. And so, with due respect to the legendary song that it is, I sort of wrote a few extra lyrics and a few extra chords and. You know, I hope people aren't too insulted by it.
Oh, I'm sure they're not. In fact, we're going to give them a chance to check it out right now. This is off the brand new album, Back to Steel. Martin Barr will join us again on the other side. and life into some classic blues. That's an old Howlin' Wolf standard, resurrected and revised a little bit there from my guest Martin Barr, former guitar player with Jethro Tull, now doing very well with his own band, the Martin Barr Band, which is coming to Chicago's own Martyrs on Tuesday, April 26th. Actually, it's just a week from tonight. 8 p.m. performance, so be sure to listen to the show next week while you're heading up to the concert. That way we can take care of everybody involved. Martin, great version there, and I don't think any blues aficionados are going to be insulted or offended in any way by the new changes.
Great. Yeah, no, we enjoy playing it, and, you know, there's some great music, some great blues classics out there.
This is a great album, Back to Steel, which has been out just a few months here in America, as I understand. 15 songs, that's very generous, considering most artists give us 10 or 11 at most.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, but you know, how many CDs have you bought to be bitterly disappointed by how short they are? And, I mean, I just draw from my own experience, you know, that I like to give really good value. I think that's... you know, it's the least you can do.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of blues, I don't know if there's any correlation here or not, but I've always been a huge Robin Trower fan, and I noticed James Duar was credited as a technician. Now, of course, James Duar, the singer, has long been gone. Is that a relative?
Absolute coincidence.
Okay.
And Robin Trower, we played with Procol Harum many, many times, and Robin Trower and I were very good friends. I mean, still, I haven't seen him for a long time. And funnily enough, I inspired him to play a Fender Stratocaster. And that sort of got him into the music of Hendrix. And I hear he's playing great. That's good.
Yeah, he's gone back to the blues, too, in many ways. Yeah. He straddled out there into the rock realm for a while, and now he's back to doing what he started doing. But to see that name, James Duar, on your album credits made me think of Stone the Crows and, of course, the old classic Robin Trower. And I thought, God, I wonder if it's his son, nephew, something. No relation.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid not.
All right. Just had to throw that one out there because it would have bothered me all night. Going back to the day in the 60s, you performed at Isle of Wight with Paul Butterfield Blues Band. And we here in Chicago, of course, just adore Paul Butterfield Blues Band and especially Michael Bloomfield. Any thoughts or memories of that performance? I know it was many, many years ago, but from guitarist to guitarist, what was your thoughts of working with them?
Well, the Isle of Wight is memorable because I didn't see them perform. We played with Grateful Dead and Paul Butterfield in L.A., in Anaheim, in 69, and that was an amazing gig. I mean, Grateful Dead played for 4 hours, so you could imagine it was a huge concert. Paul Butterfield, they were both great, amazing. So I have fond memories of that. But Isle of Wight, obviously my memories are of Hendrix.
Okay.
And, you know, I met Jimi Hendrix almost the first gig I ever played with Tull, but we were the support band for Hendrix. Now, that is in at the deep end for a guitar player. So I was terrified. And, you know, he was such a gracious, nice, generous person that it was just wonderful. And that's without how great his music or his playing or his songwriting is. Just to meet somebody who you really like as a person, and then the bonus is he's amazing as well. So I have really fond memories of playing with him over the years.
We had heard so many stories about Pete Townsend and Eric Clapton, everybody going to see Hendrix and being completely intimidated and in awe of him. It's nice to hear that he was a really nice guy. We don't hear that side of him. We just hear about how great he was as a player.
Yeah, well, I think when people are like that, you know, you that they inspire you not just musically, but, you know, in the way you behave. And I just think over the years, I've met so many musicians, and, you know, some aren't the people that you'd like them to be. Other ones are just really wonderful people, and I live and learn by every experience, and I hope that I behave from learning from the better ones and the nicer ones. And it's just, you know, it's a tough world, and I like to have fun. I like to have great relationships with the band and the people I work with. It's all about respect all the way around.
Mm-hmm. With Hendrix, did you take anything away from your short time with him as far as a guitar player that you still utilize today? What was the secret, the trick, the lesson learned sitting in his presence?
Yeah, I think just to be gracious and humble was the biggest lesson, because there's an icon who you could just be in awe of. And the fact that somebody could be that nice was a real lesson. And again, you know, you hear so many people like play like Hendrix, and I just never wanted to, you know. But my respect for him was huge,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I had my own agenda, my own route I wanted to go down musically, and I always, if anybody's asked me for advice as a guitarist, I say, whatever you do, doesn't matter how good or bad it is, just if it's original, it's yours, and nobody can ever take that away from you. And to me, just to hear something, you know, it doesn't have to be amazing, mind-blowing playing, but if it's just something that's unique and original and personal to the person playing, that is really important.
One of the you mentioned all the players that try to sound like Hendrix, of course, Frank Marino, and we mentioned Robin Trower. Someone that was very much influenced by Hendrix, at least that I can pick up, is Leslie West of Mountain. And you've gone on record as saying that he is someone that has influenced you. What was it about Leslie's playing?
You know, he's such a huge presence in every respect. he was a mountain. And, you know, we played with a lot of support bands, and in the early days, everybody, the criteria was you have to blow the main band off, or, you know, the support band tries to blow you off the stage. And so it wasn't the friendliest of atmospheres. It was very competitive. And then we did a US tour with Mountain, was our support band. And, you know, I just watched them every night, and they grinned from ear to ear. And I just thought, that's the way a band should be, and I dare I say it, that's the way my band is, the Marcin Barr band. We have a great time, and we smile because we really are having fun. But, you know, just to you could just see the empathy between those players, Felix Pappalardi and Leslie. You know, that they're just there's some great duos in rock history. You know, I mean, you go to Jagger and Richards, Jack Bruce and Clapton. There's these wonderful couples that play off each other, and Mountain were just magnificent at that. And I became really good friends, particularly with Leslie. He was such a great person, and still is, of course.
Yeah, he's still releasing some great albums as well, even despite his health issues.
Yes, exactly, and God bless him.
What was it? Let's talk about guitar a little bit. What was it that first attracted you as a youth to picking up a guitar? What was the impetus?
The price.
Okay.
I wanted to play drums because everybody wants to play drums because drummers are always cool. They're the best.
But guitar players always get the girl.
That's really put me on the spot. Well, I got the Mississippi girl.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I did good. I did good. So I looked at the catalogue of drums. I thought, no, I can't buy a drum kit. And then, of course, I looked at the guitars, and they're like really, really cheap. Oh, I think I'd be a guitarist. but I'm lying. My sister took me to a club in Birmingham, in England, when I was about 14, and she said, you know, I want to show you a rock band. And I'd never seen one in my life. And, you know, it was the most amazing night of my life. So I have to say, I owe my sister everything. She introduced me to music, to bands. Of course, the guitar player was the coolest one. He had a cherry red Gibson ES335. He was smoking a cigarette constantly. The ash dripped down his guitar, and he was totally surrounded by girls. And I thought, yep.
There you go.
Yep, that's what I want to do. I want to be one of them.
What was the band? Do you remember? Was it a local band?
Yeah, it was Mike Sheridan and the Knight Riders.
Okay.
And a couple of those guys sort of became like Roy Wood and sort of got into more famous bands. But I think you'd have to Google them to find out what happened to them. But they were a pretty cool band at the time.
Wow. Now, what age were you at that point?
I was 14.
Okay. And you've always
the late starter.
You've always played guitar. Now, with Jethro Tull, there's a lot of the Renaissance instruments. We see mandolin and different things in there. Now, you play a variety of string instruments. Is there one that you're particularly fond of, or one that's perhaps more difficult than others?
Yeah, well, I think once you play mandolin and the whole family, bouzouki, mandolas, that they all sort of translate to each other. Obviously, the tuning's the same, but Dave Pegg, who plays with Fairport Convention, was Tull's bass player for quite a while, and me and Dave were real bosom buddies. We did everything together. He's such a huge friend, and I love him to bits. But he obviously brought a lot of folk music into the band, and he got me playing mandolin. Of course, I hated it at first. I don't know why I hate it. I think it's because it's just a tiny fingerboard. But I now love it. I've got like six mandolins at home. But my favourite is mandola, because mandolas are sort of not as big as a bouzouki, but it's a sort of more of a guitar sized instrument.
There's a lot of mandolin, bouzouki, and even some banjo on the new album, Back to Steel.
Yeah.
Let's play another cut. You want to do the title track, Back to Steel?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's do that.
Steel.
Title track, Back to Steel. That's off the latest album by Martin Barr. Martin Barr Band coming to Martyrs here in Chicago, bringing the blues British style back to the region here Tuesday, April 26th. It's an 8 p.m. performance, and it'll be featuring, as Martin had mentioned, about 40% Jethro Tull classics done in his unique way, as well as some of this great material that we're featuring tonight off Back to Steel and some of his earlier albums. And Martin, let's talk a little about the new band, your band.
Yeah.
Introduce us to the members. You've got some great players here, and some of them, like Dan, has been with you a long time.
Yeah, well, Dan is a local guy, lives near to me in England, and a singer-songwriter who's sort of doing gigs on his own. So mine is the first band he's played with, and he's just developed as a performer so much in the last couple of years. And he's my right-hand man. Everything I do, Dan is there, and he plays. He's a good guitar player as well.
Now, go ahead. I was going to say, you've got George Lindsay on drums. We've got course, on all the string instruments. Dan plays some guitar and sings.
Yep.
Alan Thomason? Is it Thomason?
It's Alan Thompson.
Thompson.
He used to play with John Martin, Pentangle, Van Morrison, John Jorgensen. He plays bass and slide guitar.
All right. Now, that's the core band, if I understand. Do you have any supplemental players like you do on the album?
I have two girl singers who are wonderful. That they live near to me in Plymouth. They're both in their early 20s, and they one's a blues singer and the other one plays country.
Mm.
And you know that they never met each other before they did the sessions on the album, and their voices just were amazing. It's like they've been singing together for years and years, and I'm working very, very hard to bring them over to the States for next year, because they're great. They're really good.
So they won't be with you at Martyrs, but they will be on the next tour, hopefully.
That's right.
All right. For the show, you're obviously going to have all your CDs available. You're going to do some merch there?
Yep, we'll have Back to Steel and Order of Play and T-shirts, I really love meeting everybody at the end of the show. In some ways, you know, you're exhausted, you're soaking wet, the last few years I've really enjoyed getting to meet people, which is something I didn't do very much with Jethro Tull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a very insulated life.
The music,
but, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just really like people.
The music business has changed so much since you started 40-odd years ago. Obviously, the record labels are gone, the bigger ones. A lot of do-it-yourself stuff. You've mentioned the word fun and happy several times tonight. You've taken on a lot more of the workload, and it seems to have done well by you.
Yeah, I know a lot about music and about the business, obviously, because I've been doing it for so long. But it's some of it's dreary. You know, at home I'm on the computer at 8 o'clock in the morning till like, you know, sort of 10 o'clock at night, and sometimes, you know, I shut the computer down at 10, and I say, Julie, the office is closed, and I go in the studio and I put on a CD, I plug in, turn it up loud, and I just play through the whole CD. I just jam along to it, and suddenly life has meaning again. I need that every day. I need to play every day for my own happiness.
So that's how you decompress from the business side.
Yeah, exactly.
How has your approach, if at all, changed from, as far as recording, changed from the old days? Now that you're the band leader and you're taking it in the studio, how have you shifted gears?
Well, you know, in the early days, recording had that air of mystery, you know, that there was that glass wall between the control room and the studio, and musicians didn't go into the control room and vice versa, sort of barrier. But as soon as I had my own studio, sort of 15 years ago, I just realized, you know, that there is no mystery at all. You know, it's all about the performance happening in a room, and all you've got to do put that performance onto a media, you know, be it tape is captured, and that's all that matters. It's the mystery is removed, and now I love recording. You know, we play most of the recording. We're playing live, and it's easy. We just make it so enjoyable.
Now you've got three albums out in about 4.5 years. That's quite a bit of turnout. It seems like you're being very proactive, very creative. Are you in a certain zone at this point where it's just fallen out of you?
Well, you know, 4 years ago, Ian announced he didn't want to be in Jethro Tull anymore. He said that he didn't want Jethro Tull to exist, and I'm like, okay, good. So, you know, I was completely floored by this piece of information. So I mean, literally, I just had to get my act together very, very quickly. And at first, you know, it was quite devastating. But, you know, then I thought, you know, I'm a guitar player. I've got a lot of things I want to do. I love writing music. Just get stuck into it. And, you know, sort of two albums down the line and getting a band together, It was like a rebirth for me. I love playing guitar, and I think with Jethro Tull, you know, it was getting a bit sterile, a bit sort of diluted. It needed to end, and what I've got now is so fresh, and I get to play so much more guitar, so much more the music that I really love. It's great. So it was a really good thing. But it was hard work, you know. But I'm a very, very determined person.
Now, when Tull took some downtime in the 90s, you released several solo albums as well, Summer Band, Trick of Memory. I think the last one was Stage Left. Then you went back to Tull. So you had the freedom. Yeah. You tasted it a little bit, and then you kind of got corralled again. Am I perceiving this correct?
Yeah, you know, it's all about time, you know, the time constraints, and, you know, I've got family. You know, I love to do a lot of things in life, and I love music. It's everything I am is music, but I make sure that I have a family life. I make sure I love the outdoors. You know, I love running, table tennis, wakeboarding, snowboarding, you know, all the things that I never did when I was a teenager. Suddenly they're available, and you know, it's really important to me that I have that sort of balance of being outdoors and having all these interests, and it sort of feeds back into the music. You know, it makes the music more vitalized, more healthy. So essentially, whenever I've had the time, I've gone back in the studio and written music and recorded it, and I'm learning. I love writing music. I love arranging music. And so in my mind, I'm at a point where I'm improving and really looking forward to the next project.
Now, you've, as we mentioned, you had several earlier albums in the 90s. Of course, 2013, Away With Words was a jump start again, Order of Play, Back to Steel Now this past year. Are you going back and revisiting any of the songs from The Meeting or Trick of Memory and including them in the live shows for the older fans?
You know, I don't, because I like to look forward all the time. We do one instrumental. It's called Misère. And that's from The Meeting, and it's mainly because so many fans that know me that love that piece of music, and I obviously enjoy playing it. So that's the only one that I do from the old albums, and I mean it's not to do with the quality or whether they work live. I've been in Mississippi for 4 days, and I've written or arrange 4 new pieces of music to play when we get back together tomorrow in the Northeast state. It's just moving, always moving forward and always refreshing what we've got. We've got a huge catalogue of songs that we can play on any one night. And I want the band to feel like, you know, there's always that sort of element of freshness in every show.
Even
a choice.
even the most of the albums have a cover or two, or you're revisiting a Tull song on some of them.
Yep.
But you bring something completely new to even the most standard of songs. And a prime example on the new album, Back to Steel, of course, is Eleanor Rigby, which we've all grown up with. I'd like to play that for the listeners and then talk to you about why you tackled that song and some of the changes you've made to it. So we'll be back with Martin Barr in just a few minutes. But right now, here's Eleanor Rigby, Martin Barr Band, Back to Steel.
Up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in the jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words to a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, donning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Oh, look at all the lonely people.
Inventing the Beatles. That's Martin Barr Band off the latest album, Back to Steel. You recognize the lyrics, you recognize a little of the melody there, but it's a very fresh take on that song. And Martin, what made you tackle Eleanor Rigby, and have you gotten any feedback from Paul on it?
Not yet. You know, I got a phone call in sort of 1990s, and it's this guy said, hey, Martin, you know, do you do sessions? I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, can you be at Paul's place next week? And I'm like, okay, Paul who? And he's like, Paul McCartney, as if it was so obvious. So I got to work with him for 2 weeks. And, you know, of course, when I was a teenager, the Beatles were my heroes. You know, everybody in England, the Beatles were their heroes. Mm-hmm. They were the biggest thing there was. So I was going to work with the guy, and you know, he was amazing. He is a phenomenal musician and such a great singer. So I had this 2-week thing with him, And, you know, every time he ran through a song, he sang. And he didn't just sing it, it was full on. It's such a great experience. So, you know, it's one of the biggest things in my life that I actually got to meet and work with my hero.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's my little nod to the Beatles, and, you know, those great songs are just eternal.
Well, you did an amazing job on it. You heavied it up just enough that'll appeal to the Tull fans. Of course, you didn't change it so much that the Beatle fans can't get their head around it. But when you're messing with a masterpiece, let's say, like a Beatles song, was there any trepidation on your part to say, gosh, you know, this is like, you know, messing with the Mona Lisa. Do I dare do it?
No, I've got no ethics at all. Yeah, whatever. I just went for it, and the proof's in the pudding. You know, we played it live, and people loved it. I thought, okay, that's good. That works.
Will that be in the set at Martyrs on Tuesday?
It definitely will be. Yeah.
All right, and again, listeners, if you're liking what you're hearing, Martin Barr Band will be at Martyrs in Chicago, and it's next Tuesday, April 26th. It's an 8 p.m. performance. You can check that out. Go on martinbarr.com is his website. All things Martin will be found there, including some of the information that we're talking about with the albums, but you can get a link on all of his dates coming up. You just played at B.B. King's, I see. That had to be a nice experience, being as you were a fan of the Three Kings.
Yeah, it was. Well, I love New York. I mean, I love Chicago. But my best friend Paul Hamer lives in Chicago, so we have 3 days there, so we can see him. I love American towns, and I've got great memories of all those big towns.
I didn't realize you played a Hamer.
I used to play Hamer when Paul Hamer built the guitars. And now I use that other great American guitar, the PRS.
Ah.
So,
all right. Let's talk briefly again to jump back to Jethro Tull. Of course, everyone knows your trademark solos and guitar parts in Aqualung, Cross-Eyed Mary, Locomotive Breath, on and on. But there's so many wonderful songs and so many albums that get overshadowed because of the Aqualung, hugeness. Mm. Personal favorites of mine, Songs from the Woods.
Right.
You know, things like that. Heavy Horse is a great album. You're looking back on your career, all the albums. Is there one or two songs where you just kind of wish people would put the Aqualung album down and say, just listen to this instead?
Yeah, you know, I think I always go back to the really early albums where there was so much vitality, and, you know, they're almost naive. But in the late 60s, the early 70s, All the bands, you know, in America and in England, we were learning how to play. We were learning how to write music. We were learning how to play live. It was such the growth was incredible, and it was all so exciting. So I love Stand Up and Benefit. You know, that those albums where we were really feeling this special experience of playing music.
When I posted online that you were going to be a guest on the show, I had such great feedback from so many guitar players. You've hugely influenced so many people, a whole generation, or actually two. But unlike some of the others of your peers, the Jimmy Pages, Eric Claptons, Ritchie Blackmore, Peter Green, you don't seem to roll off the tongue as quickly. Perhaps the name not as recognizable to the public, even though you're revered by the guitar players. Does that bother you that you never got that part of the spotlight?
No, you know, it's the way I play. You know, I can play really fast, and, you know, I could dazzle people if I wanted to, but I don't, because I love melody. I love songs. I just love harmony. I love space. I love dynamics, and the sort of guitar players that hit you between the eyes are the, you know, the guys that have got all the sort of tricks and gizmos. I mean, they're great players, but I've never wanted to be one of those, and, you know, I like George Harrison.
Oh, my favorite Beatle.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. And, you know, understated. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I love being part of the band, and I take so much pleasure from arranging music, and I'm not arranging it just for myself. I'm arranging it for the other guys as well, so they get a real pleasure in playing the music and sharing it, and have great parts to play. And I love doing vocals. Whenever we do like backing vocals or vocal sessions, I write all the harmonies, and I can't sing. But I just love it, and I just love the end result. And, you know, I have these sort of wacky harmonies, that, and they, you know, I teach them a vocal, and they go, "Are you serious?" I said, "No, trust me, it will work," and it does. And I just love that end result.
Martin, we're just about out of time. Is there anything we haven't talked about you'd like to let the listeners know?
I could talk all night, but I won't.
I would love to do that. I just wish they would let us.
Well, we'll have to do it again.
I would love to. Now, the new album is Back to Steel. Is a next album on the way?
I've written the first song already, and we're going to be working on that while we're in the States. So, yep.
All right.
There's always a future.
MartinBarr.com, that's B-A-R-R-E, MartinBarr.com is where you'll find all you need to know about Martin. And, of course, the links to the albums are there and the schedule. Martyrs is where they'll be performing a week from tonight, Tuesday at 8 p.m. in Chicago. And let's leave with a song. I'm going to let you pick. I'm torn between Moment of Madness and Bad Man. Which would you like?
Moment of Madness.
Moment of Madness. All right. That is number 8 on this wonderful collection, Back to Steel. 15 songs is what you get, and hopefully you'll be hearing this one live on stage next Tuesday. MartinBarr.com. Martin, thank you so much for joining us.
Tom, pleasure.
You travel safe. We'll see you in Chicago.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Unlocking doors to my dreams, hypnotic voice and an evil that lurks beneath the sheets. I can't scream.